Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. This is what happened. They hear him praying. They hear him praying, and they see the lifestyle. They see the way he loves people. They see the power of God. They see results, answered prayer, people healed, demons cast out. And they're saying, they're thinking to themselves, I want to be like Jesus. And so they say, Jesus, teach us to pray, right? Teach us to pray. And that is the heart of this series, life-changing prayer. That, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. Because here's the reality, if we'll change our prayer life will change our life. Or rather, the power of God. Let me say that again. If we'll change our prayer life, it'll change our life. See, because if we begin to pray like Jesus prayed, we'd see Jesus' results. That's why he taught us to pray. That's why Jesus modeled these things to us. Think about what you know about the things we've talked about the last couple of weeks and what you've heard Jesus teach about prayer. But think about the way Jesus talks, like in Mark chapter 11, when Jesus says in verse 24, Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, he says, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And you will have them. Now think about, this is Jesus here. He knows God the Father. He knows the Father's will. He's been hanging out with the Father for eternity. Yes. Yes. They know each other a little bit. And Jesus is the Word in human flesh. Yes. He's the message incarnate. He's God come down as a man. He's the invisible reality making himself visible. You know, people say sometimes, no, I'm not going to believe until I see it. Man, he came. Really lived, really died, really rose again, right? There's all this evidence, historical, scientific evidence proving not only God's reality, but Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, and the power of God available. I mean, there's all this evidence like, man, you know, at least Thomas, remember we always joke about doubting Thomas. He's, I'm not going to believe until I touch the scars in his hands and touch the scar in his side. And then he did. Jesus came and said, here's the scars in my hands, here's the scar on my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you know, hey, that's good. I'm glad you believe, but blessed are those who believe when they don't see. But listen, here's the thing about Thomas. When he saw, he believed. But I know a lot of people in our country, it doesn't matter how much evidence you show them. Someone healed right there in front of them. They're going to be like, oh, they didn't really get healed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, shoot, you pop some Advil and the headache goes away, you give glory to the Advil. I lay my hands on somebody, they get healed. People say, oh, it's a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? It's not a coincidence, that's the power of God. Think about how Jesus is talking here. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. That's what Jesus said. And here, if you ask, believing that you receive it, you'll have it. Think about how confident Jesus is. He's not talking about wishful thinking, hoping, saying nice words about people or thinking nice thoughts about people. Not that that's wrong, you know, but in our country, right, people will say things like, oh, I'm thinking good thoughts for you. That's great. I'm glad you're thinking good thoughts for me. But there's no power in that. Okay, that's comforting, and we should do that, but there's no power in that. Jesus isn't talking about that. He's not talking about wishful thinking. He's not talking about being nice, being friendly. He's not saying it might happen. He's not saying if God's in a good mood. He's not saying if it's God's timing, if it's God's will. He doesn't put all that. He just says this, if you'll ask, you'll receive. Why? Because he knows God. He knows the Father's heart. He knows that God loves us and wants to do these things. God would not have sent Jesus to deliver us from sin, bring us back to himself, if he didn't want these things for us. God would not have made these promises in the Bible if he didn't want to do this for us. He wouldn't have created us if he didn't want to do these things for us. Do you see what I'm saying? Nobody made God do this. Nobody made God be a good God, a saving God, a redeeming God. Because we've rebelled against the Lord in our own sin, we don't deserve any of these things. But God, in his mercy, has reconciled us to himself. And Jesus is here trying to convince us. This is the most important thing right here. The most important thing that we catch. That when we're talking about life-changing prayer, we're talking about a faithful God, a good God. And listen, this is the word of the Lord to you. It's God's will. The Lord is saying, it's my will to answer your prayer. That's what the Lord is saying. That's the whole point of this. Now, what we've been learning in these last couple weeks and what I'm going to touch on today are things that we need to get in alignment in our life. Amen. Jesus is teaching us there's some things that you need to do. There's some ways that you need to approach God. But why is he teaching us this? So that we can manipulate God, or because God's a mean God, we got to trick him, or because, like, if you do that, you'll just feel better. No, he's saying, no, because God wants to do this. It's God's will to answer your prayers. He wants to fulfill his purpose in your life. He wants to give you breakthrough. He wants to bless you according to his will, those promises in the Bible. And Jesus is saying, God has said yes to it. Like the Bible says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. He's saying God has already said yes, and it's his will. You'll never see Jesus being wishy-washy when talking about prayer. You never see Jesus saying maybe or 90% of the time. Jesus is always, always, right? If you ask, you will receive. He's always emphatic, always emphasizes the sureness, the reliability of God's will on these matters. And so we've been talking about getting into alignment, and we've talked about some keys of life-changing prayer. We've talked about a couple things. Number one is we need to ask. We need to open our mouth and pray and refuse to let the enemy silence us, because our words have the power of life and death, because we've been made in the image of God and we have certain authority on this earth. When we open our mouths and ask and use our words, it moves God. Jesus says, when they said, hey, teach us to pray, he said, okay, well, when you pray, say. Not think, pray. That's the number one thing. We've got to open our mouths. And because the enemy knows that, his number one tactic is to silence us. Yes. With shame, with anxiety, with fear. You're not good enough. God doesn't want to do it for you. All these kinds of things that keep us from actually opening our mouth and praying. Plus busyness, weariness, media, and other distractions that just keep us from getting our mouth open and crying out to the Lord in prayer. I've talked about also praying according to the will of God. We've got to make sure that we actually ask him the things that he's promised that he'll do. Yeah. So he's got all these promises, but the Bible says that our confidence, in 1 John chapter 5, our confidence is that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then our confidence is, well, if he hears us, he'll do it. But notice what the Bible says. Anything according to his will. Everybody say anything.
Anything.
That's a pretty good word. Yes. That means that if God's made a promise in the Bible, even if it's a general promise about healing, like by his stripes you have been healed, meaning that he's already purchased it, or in Mark 16, you'll lay your hands on the sick, they will recover, which means that if he's already paid for it with his blood, he's already promised it. Like in the Old Testament, God said, I am the Lord who heals you. I will take sickness from the midst of you and bless your bread and your water. If he's already made a general promise about healing, then when you come and ask anything according to his will, anything according to his will, then you know it's covered. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You get what I'm saying? That if you have a financial need and the Bible has made these promises where God says, and Paul says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, then that general promise, it applies to you because you're in Christ. You're in covenant with God. And you have the Holy Spirit to lead you to personalize and apply these things as God can speak to you and say, see, that's what I want to do for you. General promises that reveal God's will to us, that then we say anything according to his will. Now, what I'm saying is that's pretty broad. to say anything according to his will, as long as you're not asking, like, Lord, kill that person. You know what I'm saying? Right? You're not asking some selfish thing, and you're coming to the Lord with some genuine needs that he said he wants to cover. So we need to come in, open our mouth, ask according to his will. Number three, we've talked about asking with expectation, believing that it is his will. Jesus taught us, when you ask, actually believe that God wants to do it, and ask with the expectation and the faith that you're actually going to receive it. This is what the Lord taught us. Number four, we talked about praying in the secret place. That the secret place is, one, getting away and being alone with God. That there's times where it's good to pray together, but there's also times to pray alone. You and him pouring out your heart. You and him talking about some things that it's not about for other people to hear. Yes. Right? And the worst is when it's just, I just pray out loud or just pray in front of other people just to look spiritual. And Jesus said, oh, you'll get your reward. Meaning, that's all you get. That people think you're great.
Amen.
I even talked about the fact that me as a preacher, I'll lead us in prayer. I'll lead prayer meetings, and that's good. But I need to have a secret place with the Lord. And that secret place isn't just a physical alone space. The secret place is the presence of God, where we go by faith and we come into that time of fellowship, of intimate friendship with God and commune with him and talk with him and where he can speak to us. And it's not really a quiet time. I've heard people talk about that, right? I need my quiet time with the Lord. There's times to be quiet. Read the Bible, meditate, and just let the Lord kind of speak to us. That's true. But it shouldn't really be quiet. The Bible says, enter his courts with thanksgiving, right? That's why we shout and clap and praise the Lord here at church. That's why we open our mouths and pray, because it's not supposed to be quiet all the time. It's supposed to be praising the Lord and hallelujah and shouts of victory and asking. All right, number five, we talked about coming to the Lord and praying with a pure heart, pure motives. Not acting as if we're God, bossing him around, but recognizing that it's God who is the boss, right? And we need to pray according to his will. And one of the things I said about this, and I showed you from the word, is that don't expect God to answer your prayer if you're not willing to make some adjustments in your own life. Okay. He's not going to do your will if you're not willing to do his will. And so there's areas where we need to get into alignment, like Jesus makes a big deal about forgiveness. He says, if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. And so sometimes there can be this offense or unforgiveness in our hearts, or we've done somebody wrong, and it's like a wall. It's not that God doesn't want to answer your prayer. See, people misunderstand. No, he still wants to do it. But there's this wall there that you put up because you got something going on in your own heart. And so we need to recognize that the purity of our motives and the purity of our heart and the way we treat other people, and the way we relate to God, especially in this area of forgiveness or other things, it's what can open up our hearts to receive from the Lord. Which led me to the other point we finished with last week was pray with humility. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So if there's these areas of pride in our heart where we don't want to change or we're just trying to tell God what to do and we're blaming and complaining and all this stuff, God's going to resist us. And he's going to resist us until he can change that in our lives. It's not that he's given up on anybody. It's just that he's got to change the heart before he can really pour out answers to prayer. Well, before I get into the subject today, some of the keys today, I found some funny kids' prayers. I gotta do it. Some of these kids, they need to learn how to pray. You get what I'm saying? This is funny. These are really prayers that kids prayed. They wrote them down. This girl says, thanks for the baby brother, but I asked for a puppy. Sometimes, you know, you don't get what you want. No, just messing. This one. God, please make me like my daddy. I want to be like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. See, I like that. That's specific. That's faith right there. That's specific. I want this, but I don't want that. This one. I like this one. This is a good one. I think we all would agree with this one. God, can you please make a holiday in between Easter and Christmas? Because there's nothing good in between there. You know how that is a kid, right? Did you ever think like that? Oh, we got Easter, then we got Christmas. What's in between, right? You know my kids right on December 26th are asking, hey, when's Christmas? All right, listen to this one. Oh, okay, I like this one. This is definitely somebody who's going to grow up to be a theologian. This guy says, God, are you a ninja? Is that why I can't see you? That's good. That's a good one. Yeah, I think maybe... Okay, one more. This is funny. a little boy was kneeling beside his bed, and his mother and grandmother with his mother and his grandmother, and they were saying their prayers just quietly, you know, right before bed. And he was praying. This little boy was praying, "Dear God, please bless my mommy and my daddy and all the family, and please give me a good night's sleep." And then suddenly, this little boy who was just kind of praying quietly before bed shouted really loud and said, "And don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday." And his mom next to him said, "Oh, ow, you know, hey, we don't need to shout. You don't need to shout. God isn't deaf." And the little boy said, "No, but grandma is." Hey, that's some bold stuff right there. No, I'm being silly. But hey, this is funny, but the reality is that God's power is available to us if we'll get into alignment with Him. Coming to Him and praying with faith, expectation, with His will, and with a pure heart, which leads me to this next point. Maybe, in my opinion, one of the most important, along with just praying with that faith and expectation, is praying with thankfulness. Praying with thankfulness. One of the most important keys that can unlock the power of God in our lives, praying with thankfulness. Listen to this in Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So here you are, you're struggling with something. You're saying, "David, I know it's the will of God. I know it's the will of God. I've heard the promises." But yet, for some reason, you right here in your life, maybe it's your family members. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's something you're facing. You know, maybe a legal issue. Or some sort of a, you know, sometimes it's not just financial. Sometimes there's something else going on. And you're struggling with anxiety. Don't you love that the Lord says, hey, don't worry. Don't worry, don't be anxious, don't stay in that place. Here's how you get free from that. Come to me and talk to me. Bring it to me, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, cast your cares, your worries, your anxieties, cast them on the Lord. How do you do that? How do you cast it on the Lord? It says right here, by coming with prayer and supplication, by coming and asking the Lord, "Lord, I need you." Making your quest known to God. Say, "Lord, I need you to help me with this issue." But notice what it says, but come with thanksgiving. Come with thanksgiving. You know, there's a difference between worrying about it and praying about it. There is a huge difference between complaining to God and asking God. Huge difference. How do I know that? The same reason if you're a parent, you know that. Come on. You know there's a difference between the desire the kid has and the attitude of the kid. You get what I'm saying? They might want something, they might need something, but the way they address it to you can change everything, right? Oh, man, if my kids are complaining, turns me off. I hate it. Turns me off. Man, I get all, you know, resist the proud. You know what I'm saying? If my kids come to me and they're complaining, if they, you know, my kids would never do this, but let me just give an extreme. "You never do this. You never do that," right? Sometimes when people pray to God, yeah. Talk to God, "Man, you never do this for me." Complaining, "How come you didn't do this yet?" And you come with complaining. Already I'm thinking, I don't want to do that for you. I don't want to do that. Because see, complaining, it turns God off. It's not just me as a parent. The Bible makes it very clear that God does not like that. God is attracted to thankfulness. He's attracted to praise because it's the language of faith. It tells somebody, I trust that you're a good God. I trust that you're going to come through. And I'm coming to the humble heart and a grateful heart for what you have done already. Like Michelle was encouraging us, remember the good things that the Lord has done and bless Him. When you come and ask Him for more, bless Him for what He already did. Don't forget. Bless Him. Said, "Lord, thank you. You did come through last time. I remember that. You came through at the last hour, but or the last minute, but I remember you came through. How about just the fact, sometimes I tell people, they're saying, but God hasn't, you know, I'm really struggling. God hasn't come through. I say, he ain't dead yet. Okay. Right? Sometimes we need a perspective. You're still alive. Like the Bible says in Lamentations, I love this prayer. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I mean, this is a person, by the way, they were going through it. They're going through it. They lost a lot. And this person's crying out in this book called Lamentations. It's a lamentation. It's a cry. They're saying, God, we've lost everything. And this person's crying out to God, and he says, we ain't dead yet. Okay. He says, because God's mercy, we're not consumed. We're still here. The Lord's mercy is still there, and it's new every morning, and he's faithful. He's going to keep his promises. And this person even recognizes in this prayer their need to repent, their need to get their heart right with God and to humble themselves, and then to cry out to God and ask God, Lord, so restore us, heal us, deliver us. Do what you said in your word. See, this is a great example of coming to the Lord with a thankfulness that says, you know what? There could be some messed up stuff going on, but I got one thing I can be thankful for. God is a good God. He's a faithful God. You're still merciful. You're still compassionate. And you begin there. And then you begin to remember the blessings that he has done. But even more than that, you come with a thankfulness. This is why in Philippians it says, make your requests known with thankfulness. Because even when you're asking him, you already know that he's heard you. And if you've asked him and he's heard you, you know he's going to do it. Jesus said, believing you have received it, you will have it. It's kind of interesting. Wait a minute. I'm believing that I've received it, but I don't have it yet. Believing you have received, you will have it. See, what happens is, this is the way faith works. You believe before you see it, before it manifests in your daily life, in your checkbook, or in your physical body. See, if you can't believe God before it happens, you're telling him, I don't trust you. You're not faithful. But a person of faith, a believer, a Christian, comes to the Lord and says, Lord, I believe you because you said it. I'm going to live by faith and not by sight. I'm going to base what I believe based upon you and your promises, not upon my history or my experiences. See, a lot of people, they'll base their faith in God or their lack thereof on what hasn't happened. Rather than what has happened. See, a lot of people, right, they'll look at the 9 people that didn't get healed, and they'll say, see, 9 people didn't get healed. Instead of the 1 person that did get healed, I don't always know why the other 9 didn't get healed, but Jesus told us. Jesus said it does have to do with our faith. Right? But see, the evidence that God is faithful and his power broke in is that the 1 or the 2 or the others that heard, who received what they got from the Lord. So we're not supposed to base our faith upon what isn't happening, but what is happening from the Lord. And so thankfulness comes and says, Lord, before I see it, I believe it. And I believe that I've already received it in the spirit realm. I believe you're already working behind the scenes. See, so when we pray, how do you do that? How do you bring your request with thankfulness? You come and you say, Lord, I thank you that you've made this promise. And I thank you that you've heard my prayer, Lord. And it doesn't mean you can't pray that same prayer the next day and the next day, because that's persistence. But it's that you come with an attitude, not of, come on, God, do it. But with an attitude that says, Lord, I thank you. You're going to do it. Thank you. So, Lord, I'm asking again. I'm asking that you'd make this thing happen. Give me the breakthrough on this thing. Because I know you heard me. And I know it's your will. And I'm thankful. See, and you come with that kind of attitude. And it draws the Lord to you. See, how do I know the Lord hates complaining? You ever read the Old Testament? Oh, I'm telling you, you read the Old Testament. You see these Israelites wandering through the wilderness. And here's God trying to get them. Get the strongholds out of them and get them into the promised land. And all they're doing is complaining. And listen, they were thirsty sometimes. There was no water. They're walking through a desert. There's no water. It's not that their need wasn't valid. It's not that they didn't need it. It's how they approached it. The Bible says they grumbled and complained. And they would say things like this, why you bring us in the desert to kill us? Right. See, what are they doing? They're telling God, you are a bad God. You didn't set us free. You're trying to kill us. See, they're not coming and saying, Lord, thank you for setting us free from Egypt. And thank you that you're going to bring us into the promised land. And right now we're thirsty. And we need you or we're going to die, you know? See, I read the Old Testament and I see them complain about the food, they complain about the water, and it angered the Lord. And because of his mercy, he would do it. He would provide for them. And at the same time, there would often be consequences. But I think to myself, what if they didn't complain? Think about that in your own life. What if I didn't complain? See, because there's a lot of things we call prayer that's not really prayer. You can even be weeping and crying, but your heart could be full of complaining and grumbling. The Bible says he's near to the brokenhearted. So sometimes you're praying and you're just weeping and crying. But the question is, what are the words coming out of your mouth? Are they words of thankfulness? Amen. God, I need you. If you don't come through, I got nothing. But you begin to just praise the Lord and begin to thank the Lord. It's not that the tears aren't going to be there. It's that the words coming out of your mouth and the attitude of your heart is of thankfulness. And the Lord is drawn to that. See? So just because someone's praying words or even crying doesn't mean that they're not crying out of complaining. There was a time in Numbers 14, it's recorded, where the Israelites were afraid to go into the promised land. And they literally, it says, they wept in their tents and they said, why did you bring us here to kill us? And it angered the Lord. And they did it in their tents. Not publicly, in their tents. And there's a lot of times we go home, we act spiritual at church, and then we go home, but it's in our home. That's where we complain. See, the Lord still hears it. And here they were crying. And a lot of times we think, okay, if someone's crying, we should have compassion on them. Well, they were crying because they were scared. But they were also in rebellion. So we don't want to be like that. Amen? Amen. We want to be a people that come to the Lord with thankfulness. With thankfulness. And it says here, this is one of my favorite, in 1 Thessalonians. It says in verse 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is what we're taught, that as believers, we live a life of thankfulness. When is a good time to praise the Lord? Oh, I will bless the Lord at all times. When's a good time to praise the Lord? All times. Right now. No matter what you're going through. And so this scripture says, rejoice always. You mean right now? See, it seems unsympathetic, but yet it's the very breakthrough that people need. I asked my kids the other day, is joy a choice or a feeling? And I love it because my son said, it's a choice. I said, woo! Someone's been discipling my kids. Must be my wife. Joy is a choice. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. Always, no matter what I'm going through. And then it says, pray without ceasing. That's that ongoing throughout the day conversation. Not just, I'm going to pray in the morning or pray in the evening, but I'm going to have that conversation. And then it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for everything and everything. And notice what it says, and this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, which means that if I'm in thankfulness, I'm in the will of God. Amen. No matter what I'm going through, Lord, I'm going to offer you a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to thank you and rejoice. I know I'm in your will. Yes. See, this is how he wants us to approach him. He wants us to approach him with this kind of thankful heart. All right, next point. The next key is pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about praying in the Spirit. He says this in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. What's he talking about there? He says, when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind, my understanding, doesn't know the words I'm praying. What he's talking about there is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives us as believers of a spiritual language. He just uses the word here, tongue, but tongue just means language. Right. But he's talking about a special kind of language, a language that the Holy Spirit enables people to pray in. A language that we wouldn't have known because we grew up with it, like our native tongue, or because we studied it. Now, I know some of you are like, a lot of you here are probably bilingual. Some of you even trilingual, you know? But a lot of us, you know, some of us, we just speak one language. That's what Paul means by praying with our understanding. Whatever language you know and pray, like for me, English, and I can say a few words in Spanish. But I can't pray in Spanish, you know? But Paul's talking about praying in the Spirit, praying with a language that the Holy Spirit enables us. This can be actually can be other earthly languages, other languages on the earth, but that the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to pray and we wouldn't have known how to pray it. Other times it can be heavenly languages like, actually, language that angels speak, the Bible says. Listen to what happened in Acts chapter 2. This is the day the Holy Spirit fell on the church. We call it the day of Pentecost, okay? It was 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. And it says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the key there. So here they were in a prayer meeting, praying in their native tongue, which was probably like Hebrew or Koine Greek or whatever. They're just praying. And they're crying out to God. And this is after Jesus ascended to heaven. This is the beginning of the church. Right? These are believers. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. The brothers of Jesus, the 12 disciples. Men and women are there. Children are there. And they're all seeking the Lord because Jesus has given them assignment to go preach the gospel to the nations. They're already born again, but this is the beginning of the church. And Jesus has told them, hey, I don't want you to go until you have the power of the Holy Spirit. So they're all praying. And the Holy Spirit comes and falls upon them. It looks like fire. That freaked me out. I'd be like, you're on fire. You know what I'm saying? Fire, you know, like a spiritual tongue of fire comes upon each of them. There's a sound like a mighty rush of wind. Probably sound like an airplane, but we'd probably say, like, oh, it sounds like an airplane, but they didn't know that, right? It's just a mighty rush of wind came from heaven. And what that was, the Holy Spirit coming upon them, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice what it says. And they began to speak with these other languages, languages that they were not taught how to speak. Not their native tongue, languages from all over the world of different ethnicities. And it says they began to pray, but notice, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. They've actually done studies, more modern day studies on the brain when people pray in what we call tongues or in these spiritual languages. They've actually done studies of the brain, and they'll find that if you were just to talk in gibberish or baby talk, or even sometimes there's like these monks, like Buddhist monks and such, they'll just talk all funny and weird and do like little weird things with words, like a little meditation thing. The brain, when they do that, if you were just to talk in baby talk or whatever, the brain is still activating in the speech area because you're thinking, your brain is thinking of what to say. But they have found that when somebody is praying in the Spirit with a tongue, that's a gift from the Holy Spirit, that the language center in the brain is not activating. You, when you pray in that spiritual language, your brain is not coming up with those words. If it's genuine, if that person's really praying in the Spirit. And they have seen this actually in scientific studies, more than one. Why? Because the Apostle Paul says it right here in 1 Corinthians 14. When I pray in the Spirit, when I'm praying in these tongues, my spirit is praying. The Holy Spirit, really, giving us ability to pray a language, a spiritual, spirit-empowered spiritual language. And he says, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful, meaning I don't even know the words I'm praying.
Right. Amen.
So you say, well, why would God give us a language we don't understand to pray? Oh, isn't this the most powerful thing? Think about it. We have been given authority, and our words have power of life and death. And the enemy hijacked our words, and we came into bondage, and now Jesus has caused us to be born again, given us his Holy Spirit. And what's the very first gift from the Holy Spirit? I mean, after salvation, but what's that gift that he gives on the day of Pentecost to get all this thing going?
Thank you, Lord.
It's a language.
Not
just any language, it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. It says in Romans chapter 8, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. These words just coming out of our mouths, and we don't even know what we're saying. This language, and it says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, referring to the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints, listen, according to the will of God. Amen. When we pray in a Spirit-empowered language, we're praying the perfect will of God. Now, when we pray the will of God with our understanding, or we pray the will of God with our spiritual language, we're praying the perfect will of God. Now God has men and women on the earth who are born again, full of the Holy Spirit, and now they're speaking words that are God's words. Amen. Power of life and death. Why would Jesus make this the first gift? You know that Jesus prophesied in Mark 16 that we as believers would speak in these languages. Jesus promised it. And then it happened in the book of Acts, not just in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 4, they were filled again. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 10, filled with the Spirit, speaking in a spiritual language. Here Paul is in 1 Corinthians 14, talking to a church that he planted, teaching them the way to pray. And he says, well, let me tell you what the conclusion is. I'm going to pray in the Spirit, but I'm also going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to sing in the Spirit, but I'm also going to sing with my understanding. What is he saying? He's saying, no, it's important for us to pray and to sing with our native language or languages and to pray with understanding. And he also makes a real big point that when we're talking to each other and preaching the gospel, we shouldn't just be talking in tongues and stuff. That because he's saying, no, we need to be able to encourage each other with words that we can understand. But he does say, but I will pray in the Spirit. And I will sing in the Spirit. Why is he saying that? Because he knows how important it is. He knows that when we pray in the Spirit, we're building up our own spirit. We're building up our own faith. We're praying the will of God. In fact, we're told in the book of Jude, it says, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit's like jump-starting a car.
Yes.
Yeah, you wake up in the morning, you're like, I don't even feel like praying. Man, shoot, I don't even know if I feel saved today, you know? You're going to begin to pray in the Spirit, and it's like putting some jumper cables on your heart now. Kabah! And you get yourself going. There's something about why did the Lord give us a spiritual language to be the gift that unlocks the other gifts. Here's the real issue. Here's the real deal here. You can't be a Christian without Christ. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't live like Jesus. So Jesus says, listen, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit so you can live like I live. You can't minister like Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you can't pray like Jesus prayed unless you pray in the Spirit. And he told us that this is what needs to happen. Jesus prophesied it's going to happen. So the Apostle Paul is teaching us here, listen, it's important to pray with understanding, sing with understanding, but it's also important to pray in the Spirit. To allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me a language that my mind doesn't understand, but the Spirit's praying the perfect will of God.
Amen.
And he says, I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and I'm going to sing in the Spirit. And, and he even says this in verse 18 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all.
Yes.
Meaning that the Apostle Paul and all the churches he planted, he made sure they were full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. And that, of course, is referring to the fruit of the Spirit as well as the gifts and the power of the Spirit. But this was an important thing to him. And he's modeling to them, I pray in the Spirit. I pray in this heavenly language all the time. In fact, I'll tell you, in my life, in my prayer life, I think I might pray and sing in the Spirit more than even in my understanding. And it's not just, and it's not that I don't pray with my understanding and pray in English, but it's that there's times where I'm going to build up my faith by praying the Spirit, or I know I don't even know what to pray right now.
Right.
You know, even in my relationship with God, lately I've been singing in the Spirit more and more. It's been great. Oh, I love it. I've just been singing to the Lord in the Spirit. I've been doing this for a little while now, but it's just more and more. And I'll tell you, why am I doing that? Because here I am, I'm singing worship to God, but in a spiritual language, and the Lord's doing something in my heart.
Amen.
I just need the Lord to kind of revive me and refresh and fill me with love for Him, it's been powerful. So, what happened in the book of Acts is people would lay hands on people and they were filled with the Spirit and they would receive this gift. I know some of you may have this gift, some of you don't. But let me tell you something. I've seen the Lord do this in so many ways. I remember one lady came into my church. She's worshiping in the back. She was filled with the Spirit, started speaking in spiritual language, didn't even know what it was. She says, hey, Pastor, it's like her first day. She'd been listening to me on podcast, but she said, you know, Pastor David, can I have a meeting with you? Absolutely. She comes to my office the next week. We're in the office, and she says, I have a question for you. So this is what happened. She says, is that okay? And I said, that's awesome. I said, that's really great. The Lord just, and I had to explain it to her. I showed her in the Bible, and I explained this is a precious gift from the Lord for you and him to have this precious relationship. I remember one time, two of my friends actually, one guy didn't even believe in this stuff, right? He was kind of like, I don't know about all that. And he was praying for his sister to be healed, crying out to the Lord. And in that prayer time, he started praying in a spiritual language. All of a sudden, something else coming out of his mouth. Now, he'd probably heard about it because we talked about it. It's in the Bible. But he did not even think to do it. What happened? He's crying out for his sister, and he ran out of words, and boom, the Holy Spirit comes in. And you know, she was healed. She was healed. I've seen this happen before. And, you know, there's some people, they receive this, you know, in other churches. Maybe they got the gift of a spiritual language, but they don't use it. Man, pray all the time in the Spirit. Sing all the time in the Spirit. And even sometimes in church and sometimes in prayer meetings. Sometimes people think 1 Corinthians 14 is telling us, don't do that in church. Well, if you read the whole chapter, he doesn't say that, actually. He actually says, let all things be done decently in order. He says, do not forbid the speaking in tongues. It's that in that church there were some extremes, and there are some things that we want to balance. You know, I know sometimes people have some bad experiences. Praying in the Spirit and being a Spirit-filled Christian in a Spirit-filled church, you know, it doesn't have to come with a lot of the baggage some people have had. I just want to highlight it real quick because just in case. You know, it doesn't mean that, like we're not like this kind of church. I've seen people, they think, oh, man, praying in the Spirit. Man, well, we're going to get some chandeliers in here and start swinging, you know? Yeah. No, there ain't no chandeliers. Not going to swing. Or sometimes people be pushy, right? Grabbing people and shaking them, wagging their tongue or something like that. Or I've even heard this is a dangerous doctrine. And people, this is something that, I mean, sincere people, but it's dangerous. Where people say, man, if you don't not feel the Spirit, if you don't speak in spiritual language, you're not even saved. Well, that's bad. That's not the Lord. That's not in the Word of God.
Right.
No, this is a precious gift the Lord wants to give to believers. It's not like only the elite,
right,
or something like that. So there are a lot of things where I have seen a lot of negative experiences. Maybe some churches that sometimes it's not that they're extreme, but just maybe it just their style of worship is awkward for people.
Right.
That's all right, you know, that's their way. But there are some extremes that are unhealthy, that are controlling or manipulative, and we reject all that. What I want is the precious Word of God and the precious Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Go after the gifts of the Spirit. Allow the Lord to fill you, but also pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray the perfect will of God. All right, let me end with this just real quick, is pray as a family. This is one of the things that I've been learning to do. My wife getting the kids together in the morning and they'll just link hands and they'll pray. It's one thing to pray over the kids. It's one thing to model prayer for the kids, but to pray together. And that's kind of what we're doing this week in our breakthrough week of prayer. We're going to get together. The kids are going to join us. They may go off and play a little bit some of the nights, but we've told the kids, we're not watching media at night. You know, we're gonna fast. Some people in the church are gonna fast some media, some food. You're welcome to do so, but we're gonna cut back on those things. And I've talked to my kids already. We're gonna seek the Lord, and what I want to see the worship and the prayer coming out of their mouth. It's us praying together. Just like it says in Psalm 148, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. There's something about the generations coming together, young and old. And my kids are, you know, my kids are five and up. And so I can expect that they can focus and they can pray and they can do things when you got the little ones, it's just good for them to be in the atmosphere and then just go off and run around and play. It's no big deal. I mean, my wife and I have learned just worship the Lord and who cares about the distractions sometimes,
Amen.
You know? But it's important for the kids to be in the presence of God. It's important for them to have their own class sometimes to be discipled. But it's also important to come together as a family. Not just pray over a meal, you know? That's good too. But times are to really linger in prayer. Maybe go after something together in prayer as a family. We've done that before. We link arms and we ask the Lord. And the kids have seen the Lord answer prayers and come through for us miraculously. They've seen it. because we've prayed with them. Praise God. So this is life-changing prayer.